Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll
Evangelist Hampton with us tonight. Hello, anybody there? Hello, We have been a listener. Well,
ain't nobody on line but you right now.
Okay.
Just you. Brother Hampton will call in a few minutes. Brother Hampton gonna call in a few minutes.
Okay. Okay. Well then I'm gonna go ahead on and pray. And unless you wanna do the prayer for us.
I got a mouthful right now.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go ahead and do a prayer.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and do a prayer and come on in.
Okay.
Father, okay. All right. Similar. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this hour, for this time. Thank you, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. And God, we pray that every ear should hear what your Spirit is saying tonight. God, for those who will come and tune in tonight, God, that they'll hear a word that comes from you, and that, God, that it'll fall upon the good ground of their heart, that it'll bring forth fruit in its season, God, and that we'll be the men, the women, the boys and girls that you want us to be. Put us on the potter's wheel, God, shape and mold us and make us to be all that you want us to be. But most important, God, help us to know you in a personal way and not just for what we heard about you, God, but in a personal way that we'll know the only true God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, for those who may tune in a little later, tonight we're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about God. And so there may be some questions that you have about God. You may have a comment that you want to say about God. And if you have any comments, just press 1. And we'll give you time to say your comment or to ask your question by dialing 1. So I'm going to begin this. To the God of heaven and earth and all God's ability, who made little small seeds and was in those seeds, can be seen upon a tree. And when I think of the Most High God and all God's wonderful art, who spoke words of action, saying, let there be light in the midst of all that was dark. When I think of the Most High God and all God's ability, who spoke through the waters and the waters brought forth living creatures that lives in the sea. I said, oh, what an awesome God who allowed me a chance to share, who made a man from dead dirt to think and talk, to feel and be aware. When I consider the sun and moon you ordained to be the handiworks of your hand, God, I asked that question that David had asked to God, what is a man? Before God's words were ever written on scrolls of paper, the heavens had declared his glory, and the stars and the lights of signs and seasons keep telling us the Bible story. And that every moving thing is mighty to the largest unto the small. Because God has made all that is mighty, he's the almighty of them all. From everlasting to everlasting, truly you are God. And out of all that's created or made, who is like the Lord? And who can teach God knowledge or tell of all his ways? Who can tell of God's beginning to number or count his days? I believe nothing is impossible or too hard when it comes to this God. So come think with me on his ability and let us magnify the Lord. But yet mankind complains. But when will we understand that it is a blessing to be made by the blessed form from the maker's hand? God is shaking me like an earthquake, shaking inside of me, that my fruit may fall, may we eat and live from the fruits of a shaking tree. So if I'm never ever blessed again, or I'm blessed this time to see that all heaven and earth can't contain or hold all of God's ability. That wasn't a whole poem. I cut it short a little bit. But anyway, you can go to Facebook and you can read my post, John Shuler, and you can read the whole poem on God's ability. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says that God, in his ability, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then it says, according to the power which worketh in us. Amen. So we're going to talk about God tonight. And first I want to let you know that when it comes to the word God is not God's name. It's not his name. For the Bible itself tells us in Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, It says, for there are many laws and there are many gods. So we're not talking about any kind of God tonight, but we're talking about the Most High Almighty God. The word God shows us God's position, that God sits or he rules as God. He sits or he rules as God. Now, the Bible also tells us what God is made of. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Now, God, even from the Old Testament, is seen as the Creator and the Father. And then we believe that God became the Son in redemption. Amen. He redeemed us through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus said, this is the New Testament of my blood. And then we have God who came as the Holy Spirit or operated as the Holy Spirit in regeneration. And the word regeneration there means the rebirth. Amen. Jesus talked about it in John chapter 3, and when he was talking to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again. You must be born again, a rebirth. Amen. So although we're talking about one God, but the Godhead shows God operated in three different functions, in three different operations, three different titles, three different jobs. And some of us call it the Trinity. And the word Trinity, although it's not in the Bible, but it means three. Amen. It means three. Now, of course, for those who do some studying, we may agree with some things and we may disagree with some things. Such as Christians, we sing the song, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. For those who do some studying, not everybody's going to agree that God was three persons, because it depends on how you define the word person when you think of the word person. Now, I read in the You Can Live Forever in Paradise of the Jehovah's Witness book, and it teaches that God is a person, but it says that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is not a person when we look at it from a spiritual point of view. And we know that Jesus, when you look at him becoming a flesh and blood human being, he was seen as a person, a human person. Okay? So it depends on how you define the word person when you say person. So let's review that. First of all, why would the Jehovah's Witness say that God is a real person and that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is not a person? And one of the reasons why the book teaches that the Holy Spirit is not a person is because it says that if the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost filled 120 people in the upper room, then how could it be a person if it did that? So, because of that, they say that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is not a person. So, well, here's what I think that they are missing. They are missing out on Jeremiah 23:24. God wasn't able to just fill 120 people in a room, but God says, do not I fill the heaven and the earth? So God says he's able to fill up heaven and to fill the earth. So in other words, God is omnipresent. He can be in all places at all times. So omniscience means that he's all-knowing. Yeah. So when we examine that, then we have to disagree that God, person, you know, and that the Holy Spirit is not a person because it filled 120 people, and realize that the only way that we can consider either one of them as a person is from the spiritual point of view, saying a spirit person. But if we look at a person as a human being, then it was only one person, or one human person of the Trinity, and that was Jesus Christ. And so we have the Word of God on that, and we have John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. In John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14, in verse 1, the Word says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is Jesus or Yeshua. And the Word became, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John chapter 1 and verse 1. And then when we go down to verse 14, it says, "And the Word," or the Word who was God, "flesh," or a human being, "and dwelt," or lived among us. But even before John chapter 1 declared that God and Jesus was one and the same, we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image," in our image and likeness. So therefore, if God said, "Let us make man," the word "us" is not singular, but it is plural, meaning that it will be more than one in the creation. Amen. It will be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And as we said, God was seen as the creator from the Old Testament. And then that same God who took on a fleshly body, when we go to John chapter 1 and verse 11, it lets us know that it was that same Jesus who was housing the Spirit of God was the creator. It says the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own knew him not. Actually, you can start from verse 10. So, and how is the Holy Spirit creating? In other words, when we become born again, the Holy Spirit is recreating our spirits. Amen. It's recreating our spirits, and it's recreating our minds. Because the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance whatsoever Jesus has said unto us in John chapter 14 and verse 26. We see the operation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit being one and the same. And also, you can go to my post on Facebook about this subject too. And I take you back to Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And it lets you see through the crucifixion how God and Jesus have to be the same person, because God says, "I will pour out my spirit upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem," the people of Jerusalem. And the important part of that verse, God says, "And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." Now, if God in the Old Testament is only a spirit being and no one has ever seen God, then how could you see God to pierce him? Truth is, you couldn't see him, so therefore it means that God had to take on a flesh and blood body, a human body, a body that could be seen so that someone can grab him and pierce him. So who was the only man ever known as God in a flesh and blood body that men had grabbed him and pierced him? It was Jesus Christ. And the thing about that verse, even when we go back to verse 8 of Zechariah chapter 12, it says that the house of David shall be as God. The house of David shall be as God. In other words, God was going to come through the family line of David. And that same person again was Jesus Christ. And that even in Psalms 22:16, David has said, "The dogs have compassed me," or surrounded me. And he said, "They pierced my hands and my feet." And we know that David's hands and feet were not pierced, but that David was really speaking of someone that was going to come through his family line, and this was Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see even in the New Testament that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible says he shed his blood. And when we go to Revelation 1:5, it says that Jesus had washed us from our sins in his own blood, in his own blood. So how do we know that the Holy Spirit was a part of the crucifixion? It's because when we go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit purchased the church with his own blood. So when was the blood of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit ever shed? It was shed on the cross when God became a flesh and blood being through the person of Jesus Christ. So I don't think we have to keep on going on and on and on to show that God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit is the same one being. But we will prove it also from the birth, and then we will go on to continue to talk about God. Well, first of all, how could God and the Holy Spirit be one and the same spirit? When we go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says Mary was found pregnant with the child of the Holy Ghost. It didn't say she was found child or the Son of God, but it says the child of the Holy Ghost. So who was this child? When we go down to verse 23, it lets us know that, well, in verse 21, that his name was Jesus. So if Mary was pregnant with the child of the Holy Ghost and that child was Jesus, then it means that that Jesus' Father is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And then when we go to John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and we know who that is, that's Jesus. So if Jesus is the child of the Holy Ghost and the Son of the Holy Ghost, and he's also the child and Son of God, then it must mean that God and the Holy Spirit is the same one spirit. How can we prove it again? In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2, God says, be ye holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And again, John 4:24, Jesus said, God is the Spirit. If God is holy and if God is the Spirit, God is the Holy Spirit. Simple and plain. So let's continue on talking about God. Now, as we said, when it comes down to the word God is not God's name, but it's only a title. It's only a title. So when we use the capital letter G for the word God, we're not talking about any God. We're talking about the Most High Almighty God, again. But whenever the G is small in the Bible, it's talking about a man as God. In Psalms 82, verse 6, God said to men, he said, did I not say that ye are God? So God called men gods, but we are gods with a small letter G. And if you see a small G with the word God again, it's described as the devil. The devil is the god of this world, or evil world system, according to Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 4. Paul wrote and said, if our gospel be here, is he unto them that are lost, in whom the god of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not. And the word God, small letters, is also described for statues and idols that people praise or worship as God. When you go to Exodus chapter 34, when they made the golden calf, and they told Aaron, make us God. And so that's a small little G. So when you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You'll see that that G is capital because it's talking about the Almighty God. So, again, the Bible says there are many laws and there are many gods. But tonight we need to know the God that we believe on, that we are following, the God that we call our God. So, another touchy subject is, what is his name? What is his name? And is the name of God important? Some have said that his name is not important, but according to Jesus, it was important. And I know that this subject can get real deep tonight, and actually it can take up the whole broadcast, but for anybody that's listening out there tonight, if you have any questions or any comments, again, we want you to press 1. Before I go here, first I want you to understand that when it comes down to the Bible, the Word of God, the Bible was first written in Hebrew and not in our English version that we have, the King James Version. But the translated name that was translated for the name of God as a personal name is the name Jehovah. When we go to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, it says, and Abraham called the name of that place, not God, but the name of that place, Jehovah Jireh. But some have taught that Abraham was calling God this. We will find out that Abraham was not calling God Jehovah. He was actually calling the place Jehovah, because God says, I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3. He says, by the name of God Almighty. But then he says, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. So if God was not known unto Abraham, the first name he called there, by the name of Jehovah, then it has to be correct that that Abraham was calling the place Jehovah and not God. Yeah. All right, so I think we have a question or a comment. Hello? Hey, praise God.
Yeah, I like what you're talking about tonight, talking about God, how a lot of people believe in Jesus, and they believe in God, but they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, and God is one. And you were talking about that tonight, about how Jesus Christ is being God, and how you were just breaking it down so well, until it's easy to understand that people just let the word say what it says and mean what it says. And I want you to expound upon this a little bit. It says here, the Jews, Abraham, saying, for a good work we stoned thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus asked them, and he said, is it not written in your law that I said you are God? And
amen.
He called them God unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Now, when I've seen this as myself, and they said that we stole thee not for a good work, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, makest thyself God. And it's plain to see in that is that God, before he manifested himself in the flesh. So he's not God making himself a man. God himself made himself a man, not man making himself God. So if God making himself a man, that's plain to see right there. He's manifesting himself in the flesh. And I can't see why, if Jesus said, and they said being God, he said, Jesus said, it's not written in your law that I said you're God. If you call them God, unto whom in the world of God came from, the scripture cannot be broken. If you look in, I think it's Psalm, the 82nd chapter and the 6th verse, David in Psalm talk about that.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
right. Psalm 82nd
verse. Small g is a difference between capital G, D-O-G. And I said that
exactly.
If people just let the word say what it says, it's self-explanatory. I think what it is the enemy trying to blind the minds of those who don't want to let the scripture say what it says. I said, if we just let the scripture say what it says and accept it, I think we'll be more to experience the presence of God in our life, because the privilege of man, that means God is everywhere, all-knowing at all times, as you were explaining it tonight. Nothing is hidden from God. God
right.
is life. And everything that has life, I believe that it's God. God is love, and God is also life. I mean, everything that breathing, that have breath, is life, comes from God and goes back to God. Now, I can't explain it all and understand it all, but I have that much belief that if God said it, that he's all-knowing, all-present, omnipresent at all times, that means that we have to accept that God is omniscient. That means that we cannot disprove God, because if you got breath, if you are breathing, that means that God, the Creator, manifests himself in his plan of bringing us into a relationship with him and giving us eternal life. And it goes back to the first man, Adam. In Adam, we all died. And in Christ, we all live. So that God
Amen.
Himself is a spirit, and he manifested himself, become a visible man
that
we can identify with him. And I just like what you're doing tonight. Just keep up the good work, man. I'm really enjoying this. I pray that the whole airways are flood tonight. I pray that people everywhere are listening to you on this, because all you're doing is just letting the word speak what it supposed to speak in that God himself. So there ain't no question or confusion about how you are putting it out on the air tonight. And I just pray that God would have people listening that who's a little confused about God and who he is and his plan of salvation and why he manifested himself in the flesh and died on the cross and shed his blood that me and I could have eternal life. And I just pray you to keep on doing what you're doing. And I'm listening, man. It's really blessing my soul. Continue.
Amen. Well, we thank God for you. Amen. We thank God for you. And I'll admit to you, I'm riding along the way. I had something to take care of. I don't even have my Bible with me, but, you know, from what the Holy Spirit bring back to my remembrance of what I'm saying. But I know that you was coming from John chapter 10. And I think it's around the 30th verse is when they really got, after Jesus said what he said, that they got upset. He said, I and my Father are one. Am I right?
I'm a father of one.
Okay.
But I was stopped at the 31st verse, that when he took a stone to stone him, you know what I mean? From the 31st verse all the way down to the 38th verse. And that paragraph gives you that whole complete thought. And the way you done break it down already, I mean, it just was so beautiful and so plain the way you did it. That's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost in you that's giving you that. Just like you said, you don't have your Bible or come with the Bible, but it's in you already. And the Holy
Amen.
Ghost is just working through you to put it out there, because what? If you don't have a Bible, if you got the Word in you and you know the Word, I mean, let's just face it, I mean, you're a walking Bible by itself, and I just like what you're doing, man. Just keep on doing it.
Hey, man, well, I'm glad that you did came in and comment on that, you know, and actually because you went to John chapter 10, you know, it confirmed, you know, what I said about Psalms 82 and verse 6, because the Word of God always back up the Word of God. And also, I noticed that in some of the King James versions, even when Jesus said, "Did not I say that ye are gods?" First of all, it showed that it was him as God speaking in the spirit realm when he said, "Did not I say it?" You know, yeah. And then some of the G's in the New Testament is capital in the King James version, while the one in the original Psalms 82 verse 6 is actually a small G. I don't have my Bible open right now. I'm kind of like walking in the door now. Mm-hmm. Now I get a chance to open up my Bible, but some King James version.
But I'm looking at what you're saying, man. That's what the Word said. I'm looking at my Bible here, the King James version. I'm running reference and all that, and it's just what you're saying, you know. So you find out when you open up your Word, it's gonna be the same thing.
Well, praise God. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, you know, man had a hard time of accepting the fact that, you know, God would take on human form and become flesh. And, you know, especially the Jews way back then. Well, I finally got my Bible and I have it open. I think, let me see if Jesus had used, yeah, I say ye are gods. You see that verse 34 in my King James Version have a capital G. When it says, I say ye are gods. But when I go back to the Psalms 82, verse 6, the G is small.
Ooh.
So Psalms 82, verse 6 shows it in its original form. Because we know that we're not the most high God, but that we are gods on this earth. As in, the word gods there, meaning like, you know, God had made us judges. He made us rulers. That when God had told Adam, he said, I have given you dominion, you know, over everything. So God made us gods in that sense. We are gods of the earth, you know, but we're not the most high God still. So men are gods, but you know, we're not the most high God. So we are the rulers, we are the judges, we are the highest creation that God made. That's why, you know, a dog or a cat are not in charge, but human beings are. Because we are the highest creation that he made. Amen. So, yeah, God became a man through the person of Yeshua or Jesus, you know. And I know that we was talking about his name before you had came in. And I think when we go back to really talking about God being manifested in the flesh as a man, I believe Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 can show us a greater revelation of separating the word. But then when you go to Matthew chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 23, it explains what we see in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Because, Matthew, 21, verse 21. Let me make sure. No, I was right, 23, because it tells us that Emmanuel, which is in our New Testament of Matthew, Emmanuel is how it spells it, which being interpreted is God with us. But when we go back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it spells the word, it spells it I-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, Emmanuel. And when we separate Emmanuel, the way that Isaiah spells it out, it spells out I-M, then M-A-N, man, and then the letter U, meaning the same thing you are, and then the word L, and the word L means God. So God was simply saying, I'm man, you, the same thing you are, flesh and blood, and then the word L, God, meaning that God became a man, or he's going to become a man when we go back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, because Christ hadn't come yet. It was just the prophecy of his coming. So God was going to become a man, as we've seen it all the way back in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And when Christ was finally born, when Mary was pregnant with him, in Matthew chapter 1, it lets us know who he was, and that the prophecy was coming to pass, that God was going to be with us as a man. And even from the point of view of the Muslims, I know you may, I don't know if you have ever studied the Quran or heard any of the teachings of the Muslims, but of course the Muslims call God Allah, Allah, and it's spelled out A-L-L-A-H. Now some Muslims, not all Muslims, because just like we have different denominations in the Christian faith, you have different kinds of Muslims, too. You have the Sunni Muslims. You have the Nation of Islam Muslims. And, you know, so you have different Muslims. But some of them, I think we had this discussion a long time ago, some of the Muslim brothers that call themselves the 5%ers. Yeah, they call themselves the 5% Muslims because they say the rest of the percent was dumb, deaf, and blind. And so the thing about it is, they would separate the word Allah, A-L-L-A-H, as in the letter A would stand for arm, and then the one of the L's would stand for leg, and since we have another leg, leg, and then the other arm, the A, and then the H would stand for head, which spells out Allah. And they were simply saying that Allah would become a man, or that Allah was a man seen through them. You know, so, you know, it gives out a revelation, and so therefore, when it comes down to the name of Allah, and, you know, God being called by these different names, by the Muslims, Allah, as a personal name, by Christians and Jehovah Witnesses, Jehovah, and most of the Jews would use the name Yahweh, and so it leaves a question to say, well, what is his one true original name? What is his one true original name? I feel that the subject is important because normally when you're trying to get to know a person, you know, if someone was introducing you to someone else, you know, they wouldn't just say, hey, this is a friend of mine and that's it. Normally the person is going to tell you what the other person's name is, you know, using their personal name. And so don't get it wrong for anybody that's listening tonight. When I say that Jehovah is not God's one true original name, and the truth is it's not. And I'm not saying that a person can't use the name Jehovah, because, see, God, first of all, what we have to understand is God is a God of understanding. Mm-hmm. And he understands why people will call him Jehovah or by any other name. You know, because of the complexion of my skin, people used to call me Red. If I'm walking with a couple other fellas that was darker than me, and they say, hey, Red, I'm talking to you, even though I know Red ain't my personal name, but 9 times out of 10, I know they're going to be talking about me. So, you know, God is a God of understanding. If man have a certain understanding and God is greater than man, then God has a greater understanding. So he understands why we call him Jehovah, because it's printed in our English Version Bible, because we are English-speaking people. And even though Jesus' name is not Jesus' original Hebrew name, because Jesus was a Hebrew or a Jew, God still allows people to get healed, saved, and delivered even through the English name of Jesus. Amen. I've seen it done. Because God is a God of understanding. So, this conversation, again, like I said, it can get deep, and some people feel that it doesn't matter what his name is. But when I go back to the scriptures, let's go to the book of Proverbs for anybody who have your Bible, and let's find out how the Bible, it really challenges us. It challenges us to know what God's name is. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4, I hope y'all got time to get it, talking about God here, it says, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? The word ascended means went up, and the word descended meant went down. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? And then notice what it says. It says, what is his name? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou can tell? So it's asking a question, but at the same time, it's challenging you to know what his name is and what is his son's name. Because I believe, now here's my personal belief, that both names are one and the same. If you know the name of the Father, you're going to know the name of the Son. Because the Bible teaches in the New Testament that, in I think it's Colossians chapter 2 in verse 9, it says that God had placed, that in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So therefore, when God would allow Christ to come in human form, every attribute about God as a man will be seen through the person of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to continue on to show you by scripture over and over, so you won't take my word for it, but you'll see that what the word of God says about it, and you can reach your own conclusion, and you pray to God and say, well, God, you show me. You know, I heard what he said, but you show me. When we go to Isaiah chapter 52, and verse 6, Isaiah is not far from Proverbs. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Song of Solomon, Isaiah. So Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 6. And notice what the word of God says. It says, therefore my people shall know my name. My people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Now, this is God speaking, and God says, my people shall know my name. Now, I want you to notice that it's not plural there. He didn't say they shall know my names, but he said they shall know my name, which God is talking about his one true personal name. We can go to Zechariah chapter 14. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Hagar. Is that the Hagar? And verse 9. And it says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And notice again, it's talking about in that particular day. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. In that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. And so, again, we know the Bible said there are many laws and many gods, but then even when it came down to God and Jesus, I believe it's Psalms chapter 110 and verse 1. I'm not exactly sure, but I think I'm right. When I back up to Psalms 110 and verse 1, when it uses the word Lord for God and it used the word Lord for Jesus, which was a prophecy. So in Psalms chapter 10 and verse 1, here's what David says. He says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." So Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9 says, in that day or a particular time is going to come, a particular day is going to come when there will be only one Lord, and that one Lord would only have one name. But here we see the mentioning of two lords, and the word Lord simply means ruler. Of course, God in the spirit realm would be ruler of heaven and earth, but man would be a ruler of the earth. And so Jesus, in one sense, had took back what was stolen from man. It was the title deed to the earth, that when Adam had ate the fruit, he sold out his right to be the ruler and the god of this earth. And so the devil became the god of this evil world system. And so Christ had to come and defeat the devil and all of his power. And he did it as a man, legally. Amen. To say, well, I'm giving man back his rightful position. Amen. So, again, I don't want to keep going on and on about this. I will just wind this part up. In Ephesians chapter 4, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 4, y'all, but I ain't got there myself. I'm almost there. Man, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse, beginning at verse 4, it says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." And then notice what verse 5 says. How many lords? It says one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So when we look at verse 5, even though Psalms chapter 110 and verse 1 says, "The Lord said unto my Lord," but in Ephesians, Paul says, the time has come now where there ain't but one Lord. And we know who that Lord is. That's Jesus. Amen. So God, would see, all the fullness of God would be seen through the person of Jesus Christ. There would no longer be two Lords, as Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9, had proclaimed, because Jesus had came. He was the fulfillment of every prophecy. Amen. That even the name of God would be revealed through Christ. And actually, when we go back to the original Hebrew, we will see that the name of Christ was the name of God also. That in John chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus said, "I have come in my Father's name. I came in my Father's name." Now, some will take that verse as in authority, that I came in the authority of the name of my Father, but not that Jesus meant that he came in the actual name of God. But there are so many scriptures to prove that it had to be more than just authority, but it actually meant name. So I'm going to say this, and then we're going to end it as far as the name of God, and I'll reveal to you from my studies what I believe that it is. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse 19, we know that Jesus said to the disciples, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, you know, to every creature. And he said to go and to baptize them in the name of singular, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And so when we go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter, one of the disciples in John 17:6, when Jesus told the disciples what the name of the Father was, in order for them to baptize in the name of the Father, they already knew what the name of the Son was. So Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, had baptized people in the name of Jesus. But since Peter spoke Hebrew, the question is, did he really say Jesus, since he wasn't an English-speaking person? So we know that he really said Jesus, you know, but in our English version, that's what we have. We have Jesus. So then we go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, proving who the Father would be, who the Son would be, and John 14:26 for the name that the Holy Ghost would come in. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us a child is born. A child is born. And then we know who this child is. It's a prophecy about Jesus Christ. Unto us a son is given. Who is given as a son? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that when he gave Jesus, he gave Jesus as his only begotten son. And it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And then it tells the names that he would be called by, the title names. And his name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, with a capital G, the Everlasting Father, with a capital F. So, the Prince of Peace. So, in that same scripture there of Isaiah 9:6, it says he would be called the Everlasting Father. And it says this person who would be called the Everlasting Father would be a child who was born. So, what name we come up with when it comes down to this Everlasting Father? In English, it would be Jesus. In Hebrew, it would be Yeshua. And then the same verse says that this person who was the Everlasting Father would be given as a son. Who was given as a son? In English, Jesus. In Hebrew, Yeshua. Okay? And then what about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit? What name did it come in? Did it came in just title name, Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit? No, in John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, and then it tells how the Father will send him. Jesus says, whom the Father will send in my name, as in if Jesus was pointing back to himself, saying the Father is going to send the Holy Ghost in my name. And so what name do you come up with again? In English, Jesus. In the Hebrew, Yeshua. And so, in the Hebrew, there are four letters that represented God's one true original name. Some have taught that it's YHWH. But when you go back to the actual Hebrew letters, this is why some argue that it shouldn't really be Yahweh, but it should be Yahweh, because the actual letters is YHWH. And so, if these are the four letters that dealt with God's one true original name, and you can't get no pronunciation out of them, this is why some people had added the vowel A and the vowel E. And so when you add the vowel A and the vowel E in between YHWH or YHVH, you would come up with Yahweh or Yahweh. Okay? But the question is, if Jesus' name is the name of the Father, and the Father's name is the name of the Son, going all the way back to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4, I believe that those correct letters would be YASHUVAH, which would spell out Yahshua, which would deal with God's name and the name of Jesus being combined as one. And as a matter of fact, the letter Y in the Hebrew represents hand. The letter H means behold. The letter V deals with K, hook, or nail. And then you have the H again, which means behold. And so when we spell that backwards, it would spell out behold the nail, behold the hand. So showing that God's name dealt with Jesus in crucifixion because it was God or Jesus on the cross. It meant being crucified. And as we said earlier, all three of them took part of the crucifixion. If the Holy Ghost purchased the church with his own blood, then it must mean that he was God in the person of Jesus Christ. Do we have any more questions, any more comments before we move on?
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
All right. Now, I know that not everybody may agree with what I feel the name is, and that's fine. And but it's just something to look into. Amen. It's something to look into because, you know, when we know when we study the word, not everybody's going to always agree. But God do say, study to show yourself approved unto him, that a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So, you know, we may always have some disagreements. But, you know, I thank God for what he has shown unto me. And, you know, and you know, his word is in me, so I'm gonna share it as much as he will allow me to. And, again, Evangelist Hampton, I extend the invitation to you that if one night if you want to share something with us, you know, let us know. If there's a topic or a subject or anybody out that's listening, we welcome you to, you know, to bring forth a topic or a subject and you know, it'll give us time to all meditate on it, think about it, study it, and everybody will have their input. Amen.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like that.
Amen. Well,
are you hearing me?
I heard you.
Okay, another thing God been dealing with me lately, maybe this will be some other time that we can get into this, is that Genesis, the 28th chapter, the 16th verse, and it says that Jacob awake out of his sleep, and he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And that's something that God been dealing with me these last, I say, couple of months. You know, God can be in your presence with you, and you don't even know it until after everything is all over, and then you realize that I'm in the presence of God, or God is in my presence, and I didn't even know it. And then you're having an experience, God being in your presence. And I think once you experience that from time and time, a divine intervention, I think that'll give a lot of spiritual growth and a lot of encouragement to the believers. When God is dealing with you in a miraculous way, that you can say that God was in this place and I didn't even know it. And sometimes, a lot of time, Christian will feel, well, how can God be in my presence and I don't even know it? And by studying that, that has really blessed me, you know, to be able to truly realize that you can truly know that God is everywhere at all time and all knowing. But when you're in a difficult situation, it's good to know that you can experience God in a miraculous way, like Jacob did, in so much that I think after he awakened from that experience, I think he had a heart of thought where he wrestled with the, God, and he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And can you imagine having an experience like that, that you can truly say God is in this place, and I didn't even know it? And being
Evangelist? That showed that we in tune with the same spirit. I didn't thought about that part that you first said about God was in this place and I didn't know it. But for some reason today, God brought that part, the second part that you mentioned to my attention, how Jacob wrestled with the angel and he touched his thigh and his thigh became hollow. You know, God was dealing with me on that part today. And so that shows, you know, we in connection with the same spirit, you know.
Amen. That's a good topic that we can get to sooner or later. But getting back to talking about God tonight, and maybe you can expand on this a little bit. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And that's what we're all about, is life, having eternal life. And I think so many people are having a hard time accepting Jesus Christ in that name. And the Bible says, there's no other name given under heaven. Now, if that's so plain to us, I wonder why people would fight against that name. If that name that God has given us, that we can have eternal life, and he died on the cross, seems like to me, I mean, it would just be a miraculous divine intervention for us to know what life is. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm not talking about this life. He said that you might have it more abundantly. And I think that abundant life that I see is a life that will never, never, never fade away. Your money, your house, and everything you got will eventually temporarily, but the things that we cannot see with the natural eyes is eternal. And I believe that name, Jesus Christ, the God himself has given himself that name, that we can all use just believing that name, like the power, miraculous healing, deliverance, soul saving, and the gospel being preached. What more can you ask of God? And he said, that name, there's no confusion about that. And he said, he himself did this thing. We didn't help. God died on the cross. We didn't have no help whatsoever. God did it all by himself, manifested himself, and became a man and died on that cross, shed his blood, that we and I can be forgiven. He said, without the sharing of blood, no remission of sin. Now, if God did this for us, a gift that he gave us, we can't work for it, we can't earn it, all we have to do is just accept it and let God do what he will in our life and whatever gift and talent that he has given us. Just say, Lord, here am I, use me. He said, pray that the Lord is sinful, no labors into the harvest. The labors are plentiful, but the harvest are few. The labors are plentiful. Plentiful. And I think that we all need to focus on that name, Jesus Christ, and realize that Jesus Christ's mission, his mission, come into the world, give his life, that we can have eternal life. And he knows us by name. It's a personal thing, I believe. He said, if your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, that means that that name is so important. Like you was talking earlier, I have a name. You have a name. And everybody needs to get to know that name, that person. You've got to have a relationship. And what better relationship will allow God to bring us into the reality of what it is to what? To study, to show ourselves approved, so we can understand how God is operating. And he's not trying to trick us. He's not trying to cheat us out of everything. He comes to bless us. And I think if we just open up ourselves and let the scripture say what it says. And I know if I was back there during the time with the Jews before Christ came on the scene, it probably would have been hard for me to understand these things too. But now, Jesus Christ has come on the scene and manifested himself. Because he said if they had known that he was God, they wouldn't have crucified him. But now we have the written word right before us. I mean, we got it in our heart. You know what I mean? I think America sweated more with Bibles than any other what I call country on the face of the earth. And so therefore, I think we'll be judged more than any other. I say that people, now that we as Gentiles have come and got this kind of knowledge, and my God, I'm just soaking. I'm like a sponge. I'm soaking all this up. And I hope that the others are just eating it, you know, just being blessed. Don't be intimidated by those who are trying to pull us away from Christ, but just allow Christ to be God in us. He's a greater he that is in us and him that is in the world. And people try to make us feel guilty or try to intimidate us, make us withdraw. But I believe that the more you teach and the more you preach and the more you come to these airways and the people that are listening, I mean, they just break it down. The Bible says so simple even a fool can understand, you know. And I just thank God for you, man. Keep on doing it. The more you do it, and the more God uses you, the more you believe, and the more you understand that what you're saying, you back it up with the word. It's to prove all things. And you have scriptures to bear it out. You're not going outside snatching some book that some man copyrighted or made up. But you, I'm not against people writing books. We don't talk about too many books to make you hear it, but the bottom line is what? Let us all fear God, keep his commandment. If we just stay with the word, stay with the scripture, you can prove, in other words, sound doctrine. And that's what this is going about tonight. You're just giving us sound doctrine and not, you know, I mean, rattling off something that you can't back up with the word. So I believe that if anybody can challenge you and call you up, I really believe that you give them where to go, where to find it. And if they can, if you can't give it to them then, I believe that you you go look it up and search it out and come back with an answer. And I like that. Because I believe that we work well together when we are together, just searching the scripture out, not trying to tear nobody down, but trying to build people up anyway, so he'll be able to defend the gospel, And I thank God for it. Talking about God, what better subject can you have tonight other than talking about God? You name it. I don't think you can top this tonight when you're talking about God, our maker, our creator, and trying to get people to understand who he is and why he sent his son Jesus Christ into this world. What better subject can you think of? Because when you're talking about God, that allows you to go anywhere you want to go in the scripture.
Amen. Amen.
It's still God, And people need to understand that. When people understand that, they'll be able to receive, you're talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost and God at work in us now. I believe God through the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost is taken up, according to my knowledge, that's it.
That's right.
It's going to be all over. It's the devil. In other words, the devil will have his way for a while. The only way the devil can't do it now is because the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's
then,
right.
I'm on fire right now, man.
Amen. You're right on the money. Because, like you said, according to my knowledge and according to the scriptures, even the way the scriptures mention everything, like I said, even Matthew 28:19, Jesus talks about the Father, Son, then he mentions himself operating as the Son, and then the last part of the operation of God he mentions is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and God prophesied that from from Joel 2:28, he says in the last days, it's like the last days started when the Holy Spirit was poured out. So in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And Acts chapter 2, verse 17 also talks about that. And my sons and my daughters will prophesy. So if the scripture says that the last days started when the Holy Ghost was poured out, and the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is mentioned as the last part of the Trinity, if you want to say, even though the word Trinity, as we said earlier, is not in the Bible, but it means three. So, again, if the Holy Spirit is God's last outreach to man, we in agreement on that, that once the Holy Ghost is gone, that's it, And once it's taken, the believers are supposed to be taken out of the earth also, I definitely agree with that. And then, like you said, a lot of people also kick against the name Jesus. And like you said, you wonder why people do it. And, of course, I do know that the Bible says, Paul said that another Jesus in whom we have not preached. And then he says, be careful to bear with them. And so the question is, has another Jesus been preached to us? And, of course, some people do believe that another Jesus has been preached to us. And they believe that it has been preached as in the name from its original form. Like we talked about Yeshua being Jesus' original name, and some believe that it was speculation, let me put it that way, that the name Jesus came from out of the Greek god Zeus. But if you look at the way how Zeus is spelled and the way Jesus is spelled, so that's one speculation. And then another speculation on the name Jesus is that somebody had told me, they said, man, don't you know when you're praying in the name of Jesus, you're praying in the name of, I forgot one of the guys that they painted as Jesus, Jose something, I forgot his name. And then, there was a guy who taught that that we shouldn't be Christians, especially he said black people shouldn't be Christian because the name Jesus was printed on a slave ship, the name Jesus and Mary was the name of a slave ship. And so therefore, and that if the slave master was a Christian, why would you want to be a Christian and all that? You know what I'm saying? And so the way that I explained it to him was, I said, well, first of all, when I say Jesus, I know who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the painting of the Michelangelo cousin Jesus. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible. The one that God sent. So you do have to know which Jesus you're talking about when you say Jesus. The one who was born a Jew, yeah, I understand that. And, you know, so, I mean, we can keep going on and on about it, but you do need to know the Jesus that you're talking about, the God that you're talking about. And so even when we talk about God, the Bible identifies the God that we're talking about because it identifies him, Jesus said, as the God of, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were Jews because at that time, the Jews were God's only chosen people, according to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I believe it's around the 6th verse. They were God's first elect, or God's first chosen people. But then God was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That's when everybody else had an opportunity to become God's people, because we know the scripture of Romans 8 and 9, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he or she is none of his. So the opposite would be, if you have his spirit, then that means you his. So people can try to poke holes in all kind of things, but then, you know, the word of God always, you know, show us the truth. If we take time out and study it and listen to it, to what the Spirit of God is saying, you know. And so, you know, the Bible already told us that men are going to deceive men and deceive themselves, you know. They shall deceive and be deceived. That's what the Bible says. And so we are in the last days, you know, and people are mocking the return of Christ, you know. And Jesus even said that when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? Because the devil at this time is making it hard for people to come into Christ because of the information that they are hearing and that they are receiving and how they are seeing things. And if you're not born again spiritually, like you said, we can have the word in front of us all day long. But if you don't have God's spirit to reveal it to you, then you will be just like Nicodemus. Nicodemus was religious. He knew the law, but the point was he didn't have the spirit of God to understand the spiritual side of everything. So that's why he couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about when Jesus said you got to be born again. And when you go to John chapter 3 verse 12, Jesus said, if I have told you earthly things, which are natural things, things on this earth, and you don't believe me, he said, how should you believe me if I tell you of the heavenly things? Person don't have God's spirit, then, you know, it's hard for them to understand and comprehend. And even for a person who has received Christ and don't continue with God and continue in the Word, you know, to let the Spirit feed them, then, you know, they can easily be deceived also. And so this is why Christ says, I want to keep quoting scriptures, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 25, he was talking about, some have not understand the depths of Satan or of what Satan have done. But here's what he said. He said, but hold on to what you have until I come. So we may not understand it all. Like I said, there are some things that I may have not studied that you have studied in a deeper depth, and I can learn from you. And the other way around, maybe something that I've studied deeper than you, and, you know, you can learn from me. And so the Bible simply says that every joint supplies one to another. And so that's what we have to continue to do, because not one person is the whole body of Christ, but we are all members of the body. Amen. But also, evangelists, while you are online, here's the most important part of any subject that we ever talk about God, is telling the person how to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because he didn't die in vain, but he died so that we could be saved. And, be filled with the Spirit of God, that one day, you know, we can be prepared to go with him when he comes back. Would you tell the listeners out there how to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
Amen. And if we just accept the fact that the Bible, how can you hear without a preacher? How can the preacher accept they be sent? And the good news is that God himself, even yet thou wilt sin, died upon that cross. And so without the shedding of blood, there was no life. When Jesus Christ on that cross, it was finished. That means the sin debt has been paid. Paid in full. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You have to accept the fact that God himself, if you believe that Jesus died on that cross and was resurrected, got up out of the grave, if you can, you can believe this in your heart, that God raised him from the dead. And if you can just, you know, I mean, believe in your heart, your fist with your mouth, and believe it. Because if you have resurrected from that dead, that means that with a dead man can't save you. That means he's alive.
Amen.
And if he's alive and you can accept him, just believe that. Just start with that belief that Christ is alive and I accept him in my heart and confess with my mouth. Tell somebody else about it, that I believe that I'm saved. If I would die right now, I'm going to heaven. Now, I know speaking in tongues, being baptized, all of this belongs to you. But you got to first accept the fact that what he did on that cross, that his death, when he died for you, that means that what you're saying, that you can believe that, that he is alive. And speaking in tongues, Holy Ghost, you, all that's yours. All you got to have enough faith to believe. The faith is something that goes for the evidence of things not seen. That means that once you accept Christ, ain't no way God is going to keep the Holy Ghost or keep you from speaking in tongues, Spirit of God give you the utterance. Ain't no way God will keep that from you. So I think see and accept by faith. But if you believe that he died on that cross, that's in that grave, and the sin debt has been paid, all you got to do is believe it, hold fast to it, and keep studying the word of God, and be up under somebody. Find yourself a place or a house of God where a pastor there is preaching the truth. You may not, everything may not be right, but if you can just stay there long enough and get rooted and grounded in the word, then you'll be able to what, move on someplace. But when you accept Christ in your life, you need to be taught. You need to be around brothers and sisters in the Lord that who are rooted and grounded in the word that can help you begin to grow in the Lord. Then you get to them, you get off the milk and you get on the meat. Then you can be able to hold conversation with people. When you discuss, even like we talking tonight, you be able to sit in conversation like this and be blessed. But if you don't grow in the Lord, you will be like a pessimist instead of an optimist. You will be negative about everything. But if you just stay open and believe that Jesus died for your sin, accept that, got up from that grave, in your heart, you go into heaven. And just keep on going. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. We thank God for you on tonight. And for those who want to see what Evangelist was talking about tonight, that scripture that he's coming from is found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10 and even verse 13. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So like he said, you got to believe that Jesus died for your sins, were buried, and that he rose again. Amen. And call upon him and ask him to save you. Again, he also said that God won't hold you back from accepting the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know, how should a father not give the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So you can ask God for the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, the Holy Ghost is God's seal or his sign that you belong to him. Amen.
Amen.
Again, remember Romans 8 and 9 again, that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen. So, you know, we want to make sure that we are prepared and ready for the coming of our Lord and our Savior. And we thank Minister John Hill in the background, you know, for allowing us to come on the Blog Talk Radio and share the Word of God with you. Amen. And so we pray for him tonight, and we pray that God will continue to build him up and take him up higher. And we pray for Evangelists tonight, and I hope y'all pray for me, you know, that I'll continue to do God's will and do what God, and I thank God for you tonight, and so we say to the listening audience out there, we bid you Godspeed, and may God continue to bless you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
He's alive.